Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, let's run up to Lake Livingston. Lake Houston, and check in with Mr. John Littleton this morning. Good morning, John. What's up?
Hey, good morning.
Hey,
how
man.
Are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good, brother.
Yeah, yeah. Heck, I'll run up to Lake Livingston. Yeah, no problem. I won't catch anything, but I'll go up there. You know, we all got those lakes. That's one of the lakes that I either do really good or really bad.
Right.
You know, so, most of the time it's really bad. But it's just like we've talked before. It's, you know, I never really spent a whole lot of time up there, you know, to pattern the fish and get on them and, you know, go and catch them. And, but, you know, Lake Houston's a little bit different. You know, it's right here in my backyard. So, you know, we can kind of stay on top of them a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. No, everything's been pretty good, Mickey. I mentioned last week I'd fell there and bruised up some ribs and stuff, but I'm feeling a lot better, and I'm going to get my boat out today and climb back in it. I hadn't been in it in a couple weeks now, so... get back in it. I'm going to fish a tournament at Conroe tomorrow.
Oh,
so,
cool.
You know, we're going to go up there and try to catch some fish and win a little money. It's a little top 10 championship. So, you know, we got a little money in the pot, so we can go up there and try to take some of it. But
get some of your money back, man. That's it.
Yeah. Well, this one's a no entry. You fish all year to qualify, so you don't have to pay an entry. So,
right.
You know, you're out a little gas money, and, you know, that's about it. But, heck, it'll be all right. But, man, last weekend, you know, I did, they had a two-day championship at Lake Houston. I didn't fish it. You know, I didn't want to chance it and get out there and beat myself up anymore. But I helped with the takeoff and did the weigh-in. And we had three fish over 6 pounds weighed in, and we had a 548.
Dang.
You know, that sounds good, you know, and all. It really doesn't for some of the other lakes, but, you know, three over six. That's good for a weigh-in for Lake Houston.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you know, that was really good. We had a 679, 645, and a 612.
Awesome.
So, you know, that turned out real good. The guys, I didn't do the tally on the end as far as the total count of fish and the weights and stuff, but... like I said, I was just writing down the weights. They were, you know, weighing them in, but there was a lot of five fish limits, you know, in
good.
The 10 to 12, 13-pound range, you know, and then those guys with the kickers, you know, were up there around 16.
Right.
So, you know, you got to have those kickers.
Yes.
You know, but anyhow, it was all good. The lake's in good shape. Fish are biting. You know, the water clarity's good. I asked a couple of the guys about the water temp and stuff, and they said it was back down to around the mid-80s, you know, a little bit lower, 83, 84. So, you know, that's pretty good. Had a couple little cooler mornings, I guess, cooled it off a little bit. But... you know,
yeah, we had that stretch there with all those northeast winds and cloud cover and all that helped water temps come down. But they're coming back up on my end, you know, with this little heat wave we're going through for this time of year. So,
oh yeah, yeah. I'm kind of. I don't know. I'd like said I'm going to go feel it out tomorrow. It's an individual tournament, so. You know, we're out of Stowaway Marina, so I don't know. I'm going to fill it out. I don't want to get out there and, you know, beat myself up too much. You know, I'm still a little sore, but, you know, I might just drop a trolling motor and stay in that area all day. You know, there's a lot of release fish there, so
yeah.
You know, I back when I was running all the trails and everything, a lot of
people. That's those educated fish. You got to really be on your game to catch them.
Yeah, but you can catch. Well, at least you know there's a lot of fish there. You know,
well,
they're
that's
not going to run.
Or, I mean,
they're not going to swim 5 miles. Got to
throw where they're at,
the
huh?
Other side of the lake. So, you know, a lot of them guys used to say, "Oh yeah, anybody can catch those." And I go, "Well, did you get a check? Because I did."
Yeah.
You know, I don't mind. I don't mind catching release fish.
Nope.
You know, it'll win you some money.
Dang right it will.
Yeah. Yeah, the only problem is, like today, I'm going to have to spend about 3 or 4 hours in my boat retying other baits on that I, you know, going to throw at Conroe that I don't
yeah,
throw at.
The old switcheroo.
Like Houston.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be a different little ball game, you know. But I don't know, it'd be something different, something fun to go do, throw it some different stuff, you know. But we'll definitely go give it a try and see what we can catch. But that's the way we're
almost waiting for Conroe to, you know, make a comeback with all them big double digit fish like they've have, you know, certain cycles they go through. It's getting time for that to happen again one of these days.
It is. I had a couple friends of mine, you know, that I've been talking with, you know, getting a little info, and there was a 10.04 and an 11 something caught in the last 2 weeks.
Oh,
so cool. You know, that's good fish.
Well, that'd be a nice kicker to throw in your live well.
Oh man. Yeah,
that'd be sweet.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Those fish are caught deep, you know, out on, it, you know, brush piles and stuff like that.
Sure.
So, you know, a lot of them guys have those things pinpointed, and they're, you know, they get out there and brush them up, make them up some brush piles, and kind of isolate themselves away from everybody else, which that's what you got to do a lot of times, and get away from those community holes, you know, that everybody knows.
Well, that's what I always had to do, you know, fishing here, Galveston Bay.
Right.
Away from everybody and just get out off the beaten path and hope it all works out and get the bites you need.
Yeah. Well, there's still a lot of grass in Conroe, you know, from all the reports I've been getting. It's still good fishing in the grass, and, you know, Caney Creek area is loaded up with grass, and, you know, some of the other creeks. But, you know, when I say creeks, I mean Caney Creek, and that's like a lake in itself, you know, to me, and it'll, you know, you can stay in there all day.
That's kind of like at Rayburn. You can put in there at Five Fingers and just put the troll motor down and fish that all day long.
Exactly.
Fishing drains and grass breaks. I mean, all of it.
Yep. You got a mixture, you know, you can fish.
Sure.
You know, it just, yeah, you get on the right little stretch, so, you know, you can get right real quick, you know, and catch them up. But, and that's like that with a lot of areas, you know. The guys I talked to last weekend at Lake Houston, you know, it wasn't like that. They weren't ganged up. You know, it was like one here, one there, two here, one there. You know, it was not nobody had them. You know what I'm saying? It's nobody could say, well, I can go right here and catch a limit.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a lot of running and gunning. Hitting a lot of spots, you know, 15, 20 minutes here, 15, 20 minutes there.
Pick and peck.
You know, type fishing. So it wasn't multiple fish loaded up in one certain area. Now, some of the guys, you know, they go back to the same spots and they catch one and go back 2 hours later and catch another one.
Right.
You know, that type of deal. But, you know, it wasn't a spot you can just go sit on and just stay there all day.
Yeah, there's not much of that anymore like it used to be. Used to, you could just go sit on them and pound on them and weed your good fish out of there. But times have changed. A lot of pressure.
Yeah. And there was a lot of people out last weekend. You know, it was the last weekend for the high school boys to pre-fish, you know. The lake's off limits now until, not this weekend, but next weekend, they have their tournament out there at Lake Houston. So there was a lot of young guns out there, you know, chunking and winding. But that's all good. Some people complain, but I love it. You know, that's our next generation of old school people like us, you know. So,
right.
You know, we got to have them young guns out there catching fish. I love to see it. You know, I hung around the boat ramp quite a bit and talked to a lot of them, and, you know, they're excited. They're excited to go out there and catch them, which is great. You know, get some. And again, not all kiddos growing up these days are football, basketball players and stuff. And there's a lot of scholarship money in fishing, you know, for these high schools and colleges, and, you know, they can do good. And a lot of them guys go on after that out of college and, you know, and do real well in the pro, you know,
future
on the pro
professional
side.
Bass anglers.
Yep. It's a rough job, but somebody's got to do it, you know?
It is. And it's, hey.
Yeah.
Being on a tournament trail, you know, it's not a bed of roses by any means. It's just like being on a pro golf tour. I mean, you're just you're on the road all the time, and it's a grind, man.
Been there, done that. Yep. It will. Yeah. But, you know, that was one of those bucket list things for me for years, and I did it for several years, and I enjoyed it, but, you know, I'm glad to be back home and fishing my local little lakes right here.
I don't miss it. The older I get, the more I like home sweet home.
I know. I like sleeping in my own bed.
That's it. I'm with you.
My hotel rooms are, I tell you, a lot of nights it was on the side of the road or in a parking lot somewhere in your truck asleep. You know, I don't mean all night. You might get 3 or 4 hours of sleep and then wake up and go drive again.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, it's hard for me to do, sleep in a vehicle.
Yeah. Well, back then I was a lot younger,
too.
Big
old boy,
too.
It's hard to stretch out in a truck, man.
Yeah. But it's all good. Yeah. We're going to go catch them up, and the lake's, like I said, the lake's in good shape. You know, people want to get out there and go fishing. There's still some recreational boats out there, too. You know, we had quite a few people out there just riding around trying to get those last few trips in, you know, before it gets a little cooler. And there's some, you know, jet skiers and wakeboarders and, you know, kiddos out there, parents pulling them around on tubes. And, you know, it's all good. It's all good.
All right.
You know,
right,
I love
buddy.
To see it.
Well, throw them out a number. Somebody wants to give you a call, John.
Sure, they can always call me on my cell, 281-222-8544, or just shoot me a text, and we'll communicate a little bit.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, knock them dead. Break a leg.
I will. I hope I send you a picture of a 10-pounder tomorrow.
Yeah, no more falls.
No. Good. No. No. We're going to do away from that.
Get your sea legs going. All right, brother. See you, John.
All right.
Later,
all right.
Man.
Later, Mickey.
All right. That's John Littleton up on Lake Houston. And, you know, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, and you need them really fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. They have a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery. There's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item and can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team has over 100 years of combined experience. They're here to support you from start to finish, whether it's a 24/7 maintenance project or a ground-up construction. Remember, the first three Allied letters are all. And that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales, Inc., and let us handle all your supply needs. 281-332-6224 or sales at alliedinc.com. That's 281-332-6224 or sales at alliedinc.com. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 519 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Texas City now, and let's talk to our good friend, Mr. Dave Fremont at the Texas City Dyke and Boyd's One Stop. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Captain Mickey.
Hey, man. What's up? What's going on?
Looks like things are shaping up to be a good weekend. We'll take it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But, I'll start off by saying that those Astros are killing me, man.
Oh, man, I tell you, those bats are so cold right now. They must be icing them down in the dugout.
The lumber is in a slumber. I mean, it's unreal. I think
the lumber's in a slumber. I like that. I'll have to remember that one.
I think they need to leave the rosin off the bat, quit rubbing the rosin on it, and put some X-Lax on it because their bats are constipated, man.
They are constipated.
They're constipated. They've got to do something. I mean, it's unbelievable. If they get into playoffs, which everybody says they're pretty much in, and I'm not going to jinx them. I'm just going to shut up about that.
One game at a time is the way I'm taking it. One game at a time.
Yeah. I think they say the magic number's five now, and they're going to need all the magic they can get when those bats are just. I was about to just croak last night until Singleton come through with that double. It was like, good grief, man! What's it going to take?
They need to leave him in every game. Keep him on first. The more bats he gets, the better he hits, and he plays pretty good first base over there. I mean, it's better than the inevitable what we had. Abreu, it was terrible. It was just
Singleton can snatch a few of those hot shots coming down that way. He's got some movement. I'll tell you what,
pitcher of the ball, everything.
He beat out that dribbler too last night. He run down first base like I've never seen him run.
He unhooked the trailer and took off, buddy.
That he did. But anyway, man, like we always say, we ain't going to give up on him. We'll hang in there and just hope that Seattle sleeps another game or two. They eked by earlier in the day, and I think the Rangers
I think
are pretty
they
much
the Yankees. What 3-2, I believe. So
they eked by the Yankees, but night before that, I think the Yankees strapped it on them pretty good.
Pounded them. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll just keep on pulling for them. But let's see what else. Oh yeah, man! I tell you what, y'all talked about it already, but that old moon really did its thing. It come out. My wife and I took a ride out to the end of the Texas City Dyke Tuesday evening. We got out there to the very end, facing the Bolivar Peninsula. Right about the time the sun was going down, and the moon was due up at about 7:20, and sure enough, it didn't disappoint, Mickey. It was a beautiful moon, and it was really nice. The whole evening was good before we got out there, and then right about the time we pulled up, the dolphin were out there like crazy doing their thing, and there was just rafts of mullet. You know, we haven't had much wind to speak of, and so I think the oxygen been kind of low in the water, and those old mullet will surface and start gulping for air, and there was just rafts of big mullet, and also tons of the small finger mullet, which is a good sign. When you start seeing them doing their thing alongside the dike like that, that usually means, well, the bull red is already upon us to run. They're already starting to catch some bull reds, and it's only going to get more and more better. But I see those finger mullet doing their thing, and I just know those flounder aren't going to be far behind. They'll be fattening up on them. So it's I'm looking forward to the change. It just hadn't happened yet. Man, this heat, 85 degrees, and we've already broke I mean,
is
we already
what
broke
it is the, now at the dike. It's
yeah,
85.
80, anywhere from 83 to 85 on,
yep,
on, and just, I mean, we've already broke the back of September, and here we are. It's just, yeah, no relief, and I don't see anything in sight for another week, but, oh, what the heck, man. It is what it is, and before long, we'll get a front, and we'll be all happy, and then we'll complain about it being too windy. So
then come January, we'll be sick of the cold weather and going, man, I can't wait till spring. Hey, we're never happy in this state, man.
Yeah.
I mean, but who can be in Texas? You get all every kind of weather there is in Texas.
Yeah. And I've noticed just ever so slightly as I've gotten to be an old man, I tend to gripe a little bit more, just a little bit. And yeah, my wife reminds me of that.
You earned it.
Yeah. But I made my run, Mickey, out to the very end, and I'm heading on back in, and I pulled over to talk to you. But quite a few fishermen, and Tuesday evening when we were out here admiring that beautiful moon, there were a lot of fishermen out on the dike. It looked like a good Friday evening or even a Saturday.
Really?
And just great. A lot of people enjoying fishing out there. And there's some sand trout caught, and I saw some croaker. And so people were catching some fish this morning. There's quite a few people fishing, and I saw it at the very end. They were bringing in some fair-sized sand trout, but quite a few of them. They were throwing double-drop, it kind of looked like speck rigs. It might have been shrimp tails that they put on there themselves, but kind of looked like speck rigs that they were chunking, and they were catching sand trout just moments ago out the very end. And I thought for a minute they might have been catching some croaker until I saw they were throwing lures. But I would think just about any time they'll start being some croaker caught, and we might maybe we'll see a little bit of what we used to call a bull croaker run. We'll wait and see on that. But right now it'll be bull ridge and sand trout and then croaker. And then, well, if we can get a little drop in the temperature, we'll probably see a few more flounder caught and increase. So I'm getting excited about that. Mickey, it's been a hot summer. Nothing like last year. Thank the good Lord for that.
Nothing like last year. We'll take
yeah,
any day.
Yeah.
But we just got to get out of hurricane season and get that behind us and have greener pastures to look at through the fall.
It'd be good. I know there's been a few more mangrove snapper caught as well with that hot water and us having it for so long.
A lot of pictures of mangroves this year. Everybody catching them.
The most I've seen ever over a season was just before Hurricane Ike. And then during that year, we had a pretty cold winter as well, and I think that cold winter dropped the temperatures down, water temperature down for a bit, and it either I don't know what it does to the mangroves, runs them off, kills them. I don't ever see a mangrove fish kill, so I think they just move on out and head back south and get into that warmer water temperature. But
cold winters, it seems like every time we pull a hurricane, we always get a real cold winter behind that.
Ain't it the truth? Alicia was a prime example.
Alicia, and then we had some pretty cold winter after Ike, and
if you roll back to when we were young, there was a heck of a cold winter just before or just after Hurricane Carla, and the bay froze. The bay froze, and just right down the street from where we grew up, I remember distinctly the water being froze as far as about, maybe 30, 40 yards out, something like that. You know, you could walk out on it. So that was another one. So you're right. It seemed like an active hurricane season will follow a lot of times with some cool water. So we'll see what happens. It's all going to come together. It'll be interesting to see, and we can get by the rest of this hurricane season with no more damage than what we've already had. So we'll be thankful for that. But anyway, that's the Texas City thing. Oh, I'll mention one more thing. I'll add another wrinkle. Is they're going to have a Texas City annual triathlon this weekend, so they'll shut the dike down tonight at 10 o'clock. They're going to shut the dike down. It ought to make the headlines in Houston, but I don't know if it will. And then they're going to open it back up at about 2 o'clock, 2 p.m. Saturday, and they're going to have this triathlon thing. Now, if I was entered in that triathlon, Mickey, they'd have to keep the dike closed for about 2 weeks so I could finish it. But they're going to do it and get it all wrapped up, and they've been doing it now for several years. So I'll pass on to folks. If you're planning on doing some night fishing, you're going to have to pick another spot, because at 10 o'clock they'll be shutting the dike down and making preparations for the
rub down good with shark repellent, because there's still sharks, a bunch of them in the bay.
Oh, man, yeah. Someone posted on a fishing site, where's a good place to go shark fishing? Is like the answer was Galveston Bay. I mean, just about anywhere you want to go, you can throw you out some cut bait and catch you one.
Or just reel in a live trout, they'll find it. You get start catching enough trout, those bulls will show up, them old bull sharks. That's what I saw Tuesday. So,
yeah, there's an abundance of them. We talked about how Louisiana is going to. It looks like they're going to lift their regulations in terms of catch for the black tip and the bull shark. So I don't know if Texas will follow or not. A lot of times we don't fare with what Louisiana does, but who knows? We might, because I know we got plenty of sharks in the bay. We could stand to harvest a few of them things.
You got that right.
We'll see how that works out. It's kind of scary. I don't even like to wade fish anymore for that reason.
They're out there. How's all your bait situation and everything for the weekend and seafood and all that stuff at Boyd's? Everything look good?
Not real happy about our bait situation right now.
That's what Hammer was telling me this morning. He said he can't even get any bait over in Freeport right now.
I mean, what we've been getting has been miserable, Mickey. When we get live bait, we get it and it's weighed in pounds instead of pints and quarts. We pay the shrimper by how many pounds of live they bring in, and it's been just pitiful. When you get 20 or 30 pounds harvest, it's almost not even worth fooling with it. It's just terrible. Right. But we take what we can get. It's just been very scarce. When it gets that way, it's hard to find the shrimpers. But I mean, they got to drop $100 to $150 out just to fire the diesel up on the boat to go out. So they're starting out in the hole. But anyway, hopefully that'll change as well. In the meantime, we don't have any live shrimp or any live croaker right now. We've got some live finger mullet and then all the dead stuff and a whole bunch of different kinds of plastic stuff to throw at the fish. But and we've had some live crab, so the folks wanting to fish bull reds can use that. But you can take a little bit of shrimp, catch some cut bait, and them old bull reds are hungry. They'll eat just about anything you toss out at them. So a pinfish, piggy perch, croaker, sand trout, anything that's legal for a cut bait, put it on the hook and chunk it out there and hang on. On the seafood front, we've got the old the fresh wild caught Gulf of Mexico white shrimp 912s and the 1620 tails, and then we've got over at the Cajun Grill the hamburger, cheeseburgers, shrimp poor boys. They've been barbecuing crab. I don't know if they're still doing that this weekend or not.
That sounds good.
Yeah, but they've been just cooking up a storm, pardon the pun, and not including hurricanes, but just cooking up good vittles, and hoping folks will come by and give it a try. That's what's going on, Mickey.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, man, throw them out a number and some info on how to get down to Boyd's and who to call and all that good stuff.
Boyd's One Stop since about 1969, 227 Dyke Road, right at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd'sOneStop.com, Boyd's One Stop on Facebook, and Boyd's One Stop right there in the parking lot. Just pull on up and come on in. Be looking forward to seeing you. Mickey, go Astros, go fishing, and always a pleasure to visit with you on Friday morning.
Likewise. All right, buddy. Well, Dave, have a good weekend. I'll talk to you next week. Be safe, my friend.
Thank you now.
Thank you. All right, see ya. All right, that's Dave Fremont down at the Texas City Dyke at Boyd's One Stop. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. Real easy to find. We're right in downtown Belleville. Just look for the big white sign. Their meat market and processing facility are right next door to one another. And they have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue there at their meat market. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And if you're looking for great deals, bulk pricing is available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage. And if you're looking for homemade hamburger patties and hot dogs for all your cookout needs, they've got you covered there, too. And if you're looking to have a quarter or a half calf process, they have that available for pre-order and custom processing. And their wild game processing facility, it's open year-round. And with bow season right around the corner, don't forget about the Belleville when it comes to all your processing needs. Nobody does it like the Belleville Meat Market. Just give old Brandon a call. He'll get you hooked up there. And the Belleville celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 5:39 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down G-Town Way and let's check in with Captain Steve Hillman this morning. Good morning, Steve. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. How you been?
Oh, I couldn't be better. Thanks for even asking.
Been a few days.
Yeah, it has.
Man, I've been going a bit so early at night.
Been kind of quiet. Fishing. That's why the Astros are winning. You're going to bed on them. That's good.
I promise you. I promise you. But, nah, I was crying about not being able to run any trips with all that weather a few weeks ago. Now I'm crying about being tired from running seven out of the last 8 days.
But, you're a typical Texan. You're never happy, man.
That's right. I'm just old and fat. It's my problem.
Oh, man, you ain't even seen nothing yet. You wait about 20 years from now and see what happens.
Oh, man. Hope I make it that long.
You'll be looking for that remote and that TV and that recliner and watching some Astros.
Yeah. Yeah, then they'll start losing for sure if I start watching them every night.
You got too much on your plate. I know all the things you do when you're not fishing. I don't know how you do it. It just, it'll be called burnout one of these days.
Nah, it's just life, man. It'll get better. But no, fishing for me has been okay for yeah. September. It's I'm moving around a bunch. You know, I've fished every major part of the bay in the last 8 days, and you know, there's two or three patches of fish with catchable numbers. You know, legal size fish yeah. with catchable numbers in each part of our bay. Two or three spots. That's it. Like, when I say each major bay, I'm talking about, and I'm not including Trinity in this. There's one or two patches over there, but you got one or two patches in Trinity, one or two patches in East, three or four in West.
Come over and show them to me, because I could.
No, I mean, no. But here's the deal.
No, I caught some, but it ain't nothing to write home about.
And it's not. That up your way is a pencil fest, for sure.
Oh, it's nasty.
But anyway,
Trinity Bay's become a nursery bay.
It in recent years, it really has, and I think that maybe two things: the excessive fresh water for 4 or 5 months out of the year. Every year, it seems, you know, the Trinity River just dumping in there, and then just the loss of habitat. It doesn't have a chance to reestablish a base population, you know, in my opinion. But yeah, it seems like those fish get flushed out every year. they can't ever get that base reestablished. But now I've had some drifting trips. The drifting trips haven't been as good. Like going back to last Friday, I guess. Last Thursday was pretty good drifting. I caught 12 or 13 keepers. And then last Friday I had three guys in for New Braunfels. And we caught 50-something trout. We had five legal fish drifting. It was horrible, but and that's what I'm seeing. There's like I said, there's two or three places in each part of the bay that are holding catchable numbers of keepers, but there's twice as many places that you catch a bunch of dinks and very few keepers. That I'm, you know, there's a lot of dinks throughout the system. But so that was Friday, and then took off Saturday. Then Sunday, I had one of those show and tell trips. A guy booked me. He's just trying to learn lures and that kind of stuff. He throws bait and that kind of deal. But and we went all over the. We covered three different parts of the bay, and we caught a lot of little fish again. The ratio was horrible. I mean, 45-50 throwbacks and seven legal fish, and we didn't keep anything. So that was a slow day. And then finally Monday, I went back to what I've been doing. What do I have Monday? Monday I had one guy, Kyle Murphy, new guy, and we he weighed. So we went and jumped out on some stuff I hadn't been on in about 3 weeks. And it was the best bite I've had in a long, long time. I mean, by a little before 9 o'clock, we caught 37 real nice trout. And we left there and just went bumping around and caught a bunch of dinks and three more keepers in a day with, you know, 40 fish came in at like one. That was my best day. That was my best day in the last like freaking month. And then it's just been downhill from there. Tuesday, and of course we're getting on that full moon and the tides got super, super weak. But yeah. Tuesday I had Craig Wilson and Keith Stringer, and these guys, they can fish, man. They'll catch them. But we grinded out 17 trout and some dinks, and then the next day 10 trout. It's gone downhill. I think yesterday we had 10, but it's a grind. It's a grind. But when it got on that weak tide, I wasn't able to catch them where I was catching them before. So I actually found some fish a few months ago, red fishing. I think I told you, fishing some points and stuff. Found some trout while I was red fishing.
Yeah.
And so I resorted to going back over there and just real, real eccentric points and drop offs. Like when the tide's weak, like these fish will just anywhere I can get a little bit of current going around a corner. You know what I mean?
Sure. Uh-huh.
And we just live
type of fishing, yeah.
Exactly, and that's kind of saved me. We did have better tides yesterday, and we have a lot better tides this morning. But that kind of saved me there for a few days when our bite tapered off. But man, I tell you what, it's we talk about it all the time. It's just short lived.
Yeah, why does we this went guy back on four like tides today, now? And they are a little stronger.
Yeah, I noticed that.
That'll help you.
Yeah, but yeah, that moon, I think it's just a combination of moon and tides getting weak there for a few days kind of bit us in the butt a little bit, which is to be expected. And then it is September, and I know that we all throw out all these excuses all the time, but there's a lot of truth to it. And let's face it, man, and you fished the other day. I haven't talked to you, but I mean, I'm reading the text, went back and read the text between us. Me, you, and Bob, but there's little fish everywhere, you know, and we just don't have a lot of areas holding the catchable numbers of 2 to 3 pound fish, you know what I mean? But hey, it is what it is. We do have a lot of fish in the system. It's just there seems like we talk about this every year. They're just the same size fish, you know. But we have had quite a few this week over 20 inches, you know, which whoopee, you know. I know it's not we're not talking 5 and 6 pounders, but it's good to see, you know, some 3-year-old sure. fish, 3.5, 4-year-old fish, depending on if it's a male or female. We're catching a lot of big males right
yeah,
now.
We caught a lot of males Tuesday.
Really?
Croaking their butts off, yeah.
Yep, and you know, I've cleaned a few
they
fish.
They were starving to death. I couldn't believe how deep we were hooking them.
Really?
Yeah, it was getting bad.
Were they keeper-sized males or little males?
No, they were keeper males.
Yeah, you
know, so yeah. That tells me something was going on with that full moon.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say. So I've cleaned a few fish in the last week and a half. And I've had three catch and release trips mixed in with all that, but the fish I've cleaned last week, the females were chock full of roe. I mean, not like springtime roe, but for late summer, early fall, whatever, pretty big full roe sacks.
Right.
The ones I cleaned yesterday, and you could tell whenever you start catching males in an area, you already know what's going to happen, and you're around a full moon. I mean, you just said it. You know, they start drumming. They call those females in. They dump, and the males dust their eggs, blah, blah, blah. And that's exactly what happened. So the females I cleaned last couple of days, their roe sacks were empty. So I think this is probably maybe and should be the last major egg dump of the year.
This is probably the last big dump as far as spawns go. We'll probably have a minor one in October.
Right.
I agree with that thoroughly.
Well, there's so much food. There's so much shad. It's like the area I ended up fishing. I had to improvise yesterday. I couldn't go where I'd been going. There was actually a boat in the area. He wasn't right where I was, but I didn't want to
educate anywhere.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Didn't want to get knocked off.
That's exactly right. So we went and did some stuff I hadn't done in a while, and I've been fishing where there's a bunch of mullet. Well, yesterday, we drifted and waded yesterday in both areas where we caught fish were shad. There was some mullet there, but tons of little button shad. And we've had so many shad hatches once again this year that these fish, these trout are just so healthy. And I think that's why we've had so many good spawns.
Well, look at your screen on your bottom machine when you pull up to an area where you're fishing. It's just clouds and clouds of bait underneath your boat. You know that's all shad down there that hadn't come to the surface.
Is that what that is? I don't even know how to read a bottom machine.
Yeah, you do. Come on, man. But that's what I saw Tuesday. I mean, I'm going, look at all the bait that's down we're not even seeing. And you'd be fishing and you think, man, where's all the mullet at? And then you'd look down the water and you'd see about 30 mullet just swimming. They were about 2 feet under the surface. They're just staying down. They're not coming.
Yeah, they're there. Yeah, they're there.
Yeah, they're there. They're just not up.
Well, that's like one of the areas we waded yesterday. We hit a lot of stuff last couple of days and found some really good stuff I hadn't fished in a while. Man, I'm kind of excited about it. I can't start there this morning. I got drifters. But when we were waiting, we jumped out and, like you said, nothing really on the surface. But, man, we're walking and you see a swirl here, a swirl there, shrimp jump there. They're there, but everything was over by the time we did that. And in all honesty, we kind of just jumped out to cool off because we waited that morning. And then we stayed in the fiberglass for about 2 hours yesterday morning. And then it got kind of warm, and I wanted to go check on something. And it feels so much better to stand in the water right now. Water's starting out over here about 82, 83. It's getting up to about 85.
Man, my water's way hotter than that up my way. The other morning it started out about 86.5, 87. When I came in, it was 90.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe my machine's wrong, but I don't know.
Well, maybe mine's off. I need to calibrate it.
But no,
it's still warm. I mean, you can stick your hand in it and go, well, there's no coolness in this water.
Yeah. But, man, you got to admit it, though, man. When you're standing in the boat and that wind goes away, you've been in the boat for two or three
hours. It's
putrid,
man.
It gets a little warm.
You just start smothering. Can't even breathe.
I know. Now, we've had a couple of days, no tide, no wind. We're just sitting there.
That's what it was Tuesday, man. It was like
really?
A sheet of ice. Yeah.
I know. And I told the guys the other day, I said, this is pretty to look at, but this ain't worth a crap for fishing. But I've had a lot of new guys mixed in with the regulars lately, but a lot of first-time waders. It's been fun, man. Had to teach some guys how to cast one day. Then one day I'm doing about 35 across the bay, and guy on the ice chest up front, happened that morning. Then he opened a can of – he opened a can of Pringles, and it looked like confetti going everywhere. I'm still getting Pringles out of every hatch, but –
still golly. Working out there.
But I got a family this morning. Oh, exactly. I got a family this morning in from Giddings, friends of Rusty Plackmire and them.
Okay. Cool.
And he's Dustin Foskey, his wife, and this little boy, Max. This kid's like 10. He can solve a Rubik's Cube in less than a minute. So I'm looking forward to this trip. That'll be cool.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, is it a no-brainer? I can't
solve one. It's a no-brainer. No, I'm just kidding. All right, buddy, I got to run. Hey, give him a number. Somebody wants to call you about fishing this winter.
All right, man. 409-256-7937.
Yeah, come on, winter. I'm ready for it.
I'm ready, too.
All right, Hillman, knock them out.
All right, man.
Later. All right. That's Captain Steve Hillman in Galveston. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.